Good morning. I don't know about y'all, but I'm fixing to go to the store, get me some marshmallows, and do an in-depth study on atonement this next week. Boy, what a way to explain it, Lyle. Such a beautiful way. Well, this morning, I'm going to do my best to share with you on my heart. I don't know why I always get emotional. Folks, we're the most blessed people in the nation, in this whole world, America. You know that only 4.4% of the people are born in America? 4.4%. And we're blessed enough to be part of that 4.4%. You know, if you own a Bible, you're abundantly blessed. One third of the world does not have access to a Bible. One third of the world cannot get up and read about Jesus Christ. One third of the world, from the fact that they don't have a Bible, don't even know about it. If you woke up this morning in good health, weren't sick, you're more blessed than the million people who will die this week. If you never experienced the danger of battle, loneliness, imprisonment, or the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 billion people in this world. We're blessed. If you can attend church without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people on this planet. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, spare change in the dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. And look what our nation is today. Prideful, egotistical, arrogant, not respectful, demanding everything, and yet we're the most blessed people in this world. Why are we like that today? What has happened to our country? Well, I'll tell you what's happened. In 1962 and 3, we took God's word out of our schools. That was the starting point of our nation going downhill, and now it's accelerated at an unbelievable rate. The stuff we've heard in the last few months, it's enough to make you sick. I told someone the other day, our little boys in the first grade are going to pee on themselves before they figure out which bathroom to go in. It's ridiculous. Sickening. We've lost our way. We've lost our standard. It's the Bible. Since we took the Bible out of school, SAT scores have plummeted. We've had an increase in wedlock births. Drug abuse has skyrocketed. Crime has skyrocketed in our schools. Deterioration of school behaviors went down to absolutely where they're cussing, swearing, everything in the world. You back 1940, 1962, where they kept records. The top five complaints. Listen to this. From 1940 to 1962, we really had some serious problems in school. They were talking. God forbid, they're talking. Now they're texting, I guess. Chewing gum, making noise, running in the hall, and getting out of line. How many teachers we got in here? Wouldn't you like to have those problems today? Wouldn't that like to be your worst problems? Well, today, let me tell you what the top complaints are. Rape. Yeah, I said rape in our schools. Rape, robbery, assault, burglary, and arson. Why? We took the word of God from our kids. They don't know the principles. They don't know the Ten Commandments. God forbid we put them up. They might obey them. They don't hear the Bible read in school. They don't hear the prayers. Our kids are not in church in this country. And they're being destroyed by the millions because they don't know the word of God. Now, I read recently there's a movement now that's really exciting. They're actually trying to get the Bible brought back in a secular way and bring the Bible in and teach it as literature. I don't care how they get it in there, folks. If we can get it back in our schools. And they know it. The world knows it. Education knows it. They all know it. If we can get it back in, it'll improve our schools. Well, we got to get back to that point. And that's why I love Gideon's International so much. It's because that's what we do. Our kids, oh, I just can't imagine how confused they are today. Young people, you know it used to be against the law to be a homosexual? You know they would throw you in jail for those kind of acts? Why? Why was it like that? Because we had a standard. I didn't write this book. I didn't make the rules. God did. And God has a reason for it. He wants to protect humanity. He wants to protect us. And therefore, he has these rules. Don't do these things. Folks, let me just read it to you. What if you got this letter today in the mail? Let me see if it sounds familiar to you. It said, but there were false prophets also in our day, just as there will be false prophets among you. They will cleverly tell their lies about God, turning against even the master or the Lord who brought them. But theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Many will follow their evil teachings, and there is nothing. And they will say there's nothing wrong with sexual sin. Man, that started right after the Bible was taken out of school, wasn't it? Remember the 60s revolution, the hippies, free sex? Now look where we're at. It's just pathetic. And because of them, God and his way will be scoffed at. Every now and then we have a professional athlete, they find out it's a Christian, takes a stand. You know what the media, what the first thing the media does? They run to him and say, hey, you're a Christian. Are you a virgin? Now they got him either way he goes. If he says yes, they're going to scoff and make fun of him. How could you be so stupid? How could you be so backward to be this age and be a virgin? And if he says, no, I'm not, then they're going to eat him up alive because he's a Christian. They claim to be a Christian, and they know Christians shouldn't be having sex. So, folks, we're in a bad situation either way we go here. But I'm telling you where you got to go. You got to go the right way. And the greatest gift, listen to me, young people, the greatest gift a woman or a girl can give their husband on the wedding day is their virginity. And if you can't do that, then you can at least promise him you'll be true to him the rest of your life as long as you're married to him, just until he dies. Well, I've got to hurry. You know, I was in Alabama the other day speaking, and sometimes I get excited, and I get speaking real fast, and after two services in that church, a little guy come up to me and said, do you realize, son, you're in Alabama? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, we talk slow here, and we listen slow. And I said, well, I'm sorry. You had the wrong speaker this morning. These teachers in their greed will tell you anything to get hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction is on the way. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned, but threw them into hell, chained in gloomy caves and darkness until the judgment day. And he did not spare the people who lived in ancient times before the flood, except Noah, the one man who spoke up for God, and his family of seven. At that time, God completely destroyed the entire world of ungodly men with a vast flood. One guy preached for 120 years. They scoffed. They made fun. But it wasn't fun when the rain started. He destroyed every human being on this planet. And folks, he's going to do it again, except for the righteous. It's coming. And here's what's amazing. And Craig's been preaching on this. Later, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into heaps of ashes and blotted them out off the face of the earth, making them example for all ungodly in the future to look back upon and fear. An example. God says, look, this is what happens for these kind of acts. And this is what I'm going to do to those who do that. But you know what? We've come to the point where we just laugh in God's face. They mock him. They're proud of what they're doing and encourage others to do it, folks. This sounds like today, doesn't it? Where am I reading from? I'm reading from the second chapter of Peter. I won't go on to read the rest of it because I've got so much to cover. But you need to read the second chapter of Peter and see if we're not there, folks. Judgment is coming to this land. Now we talked about Veterans Day. I want to mention that just a second. You know, we had 1.1 million people die during the wars for us to be here today. This church holds about 1,000 people most of the time. You take 1,100 churches this size, completely filled, equal that 1.1 million people. We should be so grateful. The 4.4% they're alive today, born in America. It's because we have America because of these men. And then we owe Jesus everything. He died for our sins, and we're going to be able to go to heaven. I want to share with you some testimonies very, very quickly about the ministry. Let me just do China first. You want to flip on the... Oh, they're already there. Good. I just got back from China. It was my 9th trip to China. As you know, we're going into China. We have open doors right now, which is unbelievable. They just passed a new law over there which could shut us down. We're praying that they won't enforce it because it has always been there. It was just an ordinance or a suggestion. But now they've actually made it a law. Now, in China, legal doesn't mean a thing. If Danny Lyons is in charge over there, and I know Danny and he likes me, I can do about anything I want to do, no matter if it's illegal. So it just depends on how they're going to interpret this law, whether I ever get to go back to China or where we continue. But right now we've placed 3.6 million copies of the Word of God in China. It's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of. And I went into, you know, the funny thing about it is I get to Beijing and then we take off, and for 2 weeks I don't know where I'm at. I can't pronounce the names even when I ask what the cities are. But we were in Jinan, and this is where they greet us. You see how they just meet us with the bands and all that kind of stuff. But this is what I love. I just can't help but take pictures of the kids. They're all praying, and I got me a baby. I'm missing my grandkids. Lady came by, and I just took the baby away from her and held it for a while. I said, you pray, I'll hold the baby. But you can just see how lovely they are. This is a little church we went to. It was amazing. We got there, and their entire village had been leveled. And I got a picture to show you in a minute. It had been leveled, totally leveled. The Chinese government, that's the way they work. If they want the land, they come in, and they just level the entire village. But before they level it, they build a place for you to live in. But this little church, they welcomed us. That was a surprising picture. I walked into a church over there. I went back in 2013. And this was my picture was in that church there in China. It's kind of a shock. This is the whole church staff and stuff at that church. I just want to show you very quickly. Look how the minute we get them, they start reading. They're so happy to have them. Now, let me tell you something will happen. I was at the basketball game over here, and I was talking to one of the men of our church. I won't tell you his name. And we got to talking about China. And he said, I don't want to give you a check. And I said, well, that's fine. He gave me a check. I folded up and put it in my pocket. And later I went to get me a Coke, and I pulled out my money, and there was that check, and I looked down. It was $5,000. Man, you got to be kidding me. So I went looking back up. I hope he's here today so he can see this, because that's where we took the money. That's 4,000 scriptures he bought that day. I said, man, that's a lot of money. He said, I've always wanted to help people. He's not a wealthy man. Got a family. $5,000. Well, the first city in Jinan we went to, we placed 4,000 scriptures. That $5,000 paid for those scriptures. That's just a little cross there. Now, this was amazing. We got to one church and give out scriptures, only to find out these people right here, all these books, they had a Bible and they'd handwritten it out and made all these copies. Y'all go home today and handwrite the Bible. Do it in Chinese, too. This is pictures of how they greet us. Look at this. This is what we run into all the time, church after church after church. That's just us sharing. They take pictures of us all the time and give it to us. That church right there, it was so crowded in that church, they couldn't come forward, so they just stood up and accepted Christ. We had close to 500 people during this trip accept Christ. There's the children we're able to give scriptures to. Look at that lady's face. There's thousands of people like that we see, and they're so intent. They're so excited when they get the Word of God. There's the village that they took down. Now, they left the church. That's the little church because they hadn't given any land to build the church on yet, so they didn't tear their church down. But they leveled the village. And you can see this tall high-rise. You see these high-rises in the background? They built those for them and moved them all in there. They said, hey, you're going to live here now. And then when they find out we're coming, they have to come all the way across those fields and stuff in their little carts and stuff to get to us. This is one of the last churches we went to in a new province. I was really excited to get there to see this large of a church. Give scriptures to every one of them. Look at these kids. Now, that was at the back of that village where they tore everything down. That was the little kids in a little classroom we were able to talk to. But this is what we run into. We go to 3-4 churches a day. Now, if I could have brought some of these kids home, I would. But they wouldn't let me have them. They just won't do it. Look at that. Hugging their little Bibles. That's in Columbia. Now, let me share with you some testimonies because that's what the Me the Ministry is about. We got a letter not too long ago from a little boy who's in Nigeria. And what happened, we did a distribution over there. And the distribution we did, he didn't get a Bible. He missed that day. So he got the address of the Gideons and stuff, and he wrote back, wrote to our national office, and said, Dear Gideon's. I wasn't there that day. Could you please send me a Bible? If you can't send me a Bible, could you send me a Testament? If you can't send me a Testament, can you send me one page from Jesus' book? Well, we got a Bible to him, folks. That happens all the time in this ministry as we go. Kids don't get them, don't receive them, run out. But it's so heartwarming to not realize when these kids, they want them so badly, and he was just willing to take one page if he could get it. Tom Meyer went over there a few years ago, and he was in front of 2,500 students sharing. And when he finished, he said, "Now we're going to give all of you a Bible." And said, "Well, won't you stand perfectly still?" One little girl's on the front got excited, and she ran up to get her Bible. And the teacher took and hit her right behind the head and knocked her to the ground. Said, "Young lady, because you disobeyed and got out of line, you'll go back to school and not receive one." Well, before Tom left, his daughter had a testament that Tom had given her, an extra one. And she said, "Daddy, I know you're going on this trip and you run out. Take this one and give it to someone special. Give it to someone special." And Tom carried it in his pocket for 3-4 days over that blitz and not found that special person. But the Bibles had not been opened. This little girl had been knocked to the ground. And he said he was so shocked, he didn't even know what to do. But Danny, Holy Spirit said, "Your pocket. Your pocket." And he handed it to her as the teacher turned around and walked off. And she had that little Bible in her little dress. And got up and went back to school. And why did I tell you that? Because God laid on a little girl's heart in Nashville, Tennessee to send her little testament because she had extra Bibles all the way to Nigeria. And God knew exactly what was going to happen, and that's the exact little testament that little girl's supposed to get. I'm going to tell you, one of these days you're going to meet that little girl from Nigeria. Sometimes I hate to share some of these testimonies because it's just, y'all believe God does miracles? Thank you for that amen. Roloff van Beek, when I was serving on the International Cabinet, in our cabinet meetings, and he stood up to share, give his report. He said, "I just recently heard about a man named Malini Sanko. He's from Ethiopia." He said he got saved by a missionary going from village to village, and when he got to his village, Malini invited him in. He shared the gospel with him, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The next day the guy left, he said, "I'd like to leave this Bible. It's the only one I've got. I've got to take it with me." And he said, "That's fine. I can't read anyway." So that day, Malini got his cattle and started across to graze them, and he got this little dirt road there that he crossed every day. And he looked down the road, and he saw something down the road. He thought, "Man, what is that? There's never been anything in the road." He walked down there, and it was a book. He picked it up, and sensing something special, he said, "God, if this is from you, I need to understand this book. Let me understand it." Well, we don't place Bibles in the middle of the road in these countries. I can't wait to get to heaven, Danny, to find out how that Bible got thrown out in the road there in Ethiopia. But when he opened the Bible, he could read it. Why did God do that? Bellini Sanko has started over 52 churches in the last several years in Ethiopia because he can read the Bible. You give him a magazine or any other book, he can't read a word of it. Only the Bible. A miracle of God. That's why it's exciting to be a part of this ministry, because we hear about these things all the time, all over the world. The Gideons we have in these other countries is unbelievable, the faithfulness. They don't have the money to buy the scriptures. You know, you take places like Kenya where we go. You know how much the average income for Kenyans, let me see, I've got it down right here, how much they make in a month? $315. Our church has been to Kenya several times. I've been there. $10 a day. When I was in Sierra Leone, we took an offering to the church, and I may have told you about it. When they danced down the offering, there's about 300 people. They danced down and put all their money in this pile. It was exciting to see them. They loved to give in Africa. And when I pulled it all together, I had 6,900 leonies. I had $1.56. They can't afford to buy a Bible. It was there for a dollar. Folks, that's where we come in. That's where I'm here today. That's why you support this ministry. You know, God said, he told us, the last thing he told us, disciples are going to all the world. Well, this is how we're doing it today. This is how you can go into all the world. You can go to China. You can go to almost 200-something nations of the world today through this ministry. Well, these Gideons in Brazil, I was telling you about their faithfulness. They had just spent 15 days on the river, and some of you have been on the river in Amazon years ago on a mission trip. I remember some of you, I went down on the river boats. I remember a lot of you got very, very sick. Don't eat the salad. That's the secret. Don't eat the salad. Spent 15 days. They got back. Couldn't wait to get home, get showers, get cleaned up. One of them turned the radio on. There was a Catholic priest who had a radio station. He said, there's some men who came down the river and brought Bibles to our schools. If you're in the sound of my voice, you missed three schools. 15 days off from work, down the river, they loaded up, right back down to find those three schools. That's the faithfulness we have of these men, if we'll just send the Word of God to them. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and, close on time. Oh. I can't say enough to thank this church for what they do and how they support. Well, all the Gideons and auxiliary in this church, please stand up. Every one of you. I want you to see this church. Hank, how many Gideons we have in this church? 80-something? 80. 80 Gideons. I don't know of another church that has that many Gideons. Most, it's just unbelievable the support we have. Please be seated. Most of the leadership of the camps out of this church. I think John Lennon's our president now, but we got two camps, haven't we, Harry? We got so big they had to get two camps. We got 100-something churches in this county, so we thought it'd be better if we have two camps, take 50, 60 churches apiece. Let's raise the funds. How can you help? Well, the number of prayer is the best. I've said so many times, I go to any church anytime and just share the ministry if you just pray for us. Because see, God's will done God's way never lacks a supply. Even though we run out of scriptures, we come back and we work harder. When those little hands are out and I'm out, it's just so hard. All I can promise them is we'll be back. We'll come back. We'll be faithful. We'll be back. And we do go back year after year after year to try and get to these kids. So you can help by prayer. There's, even though we got 80 Gideons, there's probably more men in here you qualify to be Gideons. Business professional men like to see people saved. We do that by witnessing and placing scriptures. The Memorial Bible Plan, Honor Plan. I lost my daddy back in November, 90 years old. I can't tell you how many Bibles, I hadn't even added them up yet. 600 or 700 Bibles have been given in his memory. It's just such an honor, and it's so exciting for us to see those cards, and different people in this church have given them. And lastly, it's by giving. I was speaking in Coleman, Alabama, First Baptist Church. Pastor had left. I had two services. It's been about, I guess, back in March is when it was. I was down there. And a beautiful church, but there wasn't but 200 or 300 people there. Y'all remember the story about Bridget? The little girl who gave her babysitting money. Worked all summer saving money to buy a pair of Doc Martin shoes. I've shared it here before. And she gave it to buy a case of scriptures. And I was using that little story, and offerings increased. I couldn't believe it. 4 years later, she's tragically killed out in Kansas on the interstate. I had to go to her funeral. It's the first time I'd ever seen her. I was laying in a casket. I'd missed her every time I'd been to that church. First time, I didn't know who she was. The second time I went, she's on a mission trip, scheduled to go back, and she was killed. Right in front of another car, trying to get to an accident to help. Got hit with a car and killed her. So I went and shared about her story, what she did, how God was faithful. And since that time, her story's been literally told around the world through the Gideons International. As we put it on DVD and all these places have heard it, and people share it. That's been 2003? No, 2003, yeah. And I still get calls, people telling about when they shared that story, what it did. Well, I shared that story in Coleman, Alabama. Monday night, I got a text from the Gideon there, Laverne, on the offering. So I just don't know what the offering is so we can write and thank the pastors. I said, I saw it. Well, you must have made a mistake. Just missed the decimal point here. I texted him back. Is this right, or did you just mistype it in? He said, no, it's right. You were a tremendous blessing. Glad you came. The offering was $35,000. One man. Put a check in for $30,000. Was it me? No, it wasn't me. It was Bridget, who gave $130 back in 1998. And it was a sacrificial gift. And God is still blessing it today because of what she did. And I've thought many, many times, I thought, Harry, you know, she wanted to give it that morning. Her mother wouldn't let her. No. You've worked all summer long. I'm not going to let you give it this morning. You're going to wait a week. And if you still want to give it, you can give it. I don't want you to ever regret giving your money. Worked all summer long, babysitting. A week later, she said, Mom, I want to give the money. And she had the letter, and she brought the letter down, the money, in 1998. You know, I've always thought, what if she'd have bought those shoes? They'd been worn out, discarded, and thrown away. But she obeyed the Lord. And only gave $130, but it was a lot to her, everything she had. And look what God's done with it. Her life was short, but I still maintain because of her relationship with this Gideon's International, and all the people who have responded because of her and identify with her and have given so much money, we're going to find out she was a great little missionary, even though she lived to be 18 years old. So this morning, I don't know what you should give. What if the Lord lays on your heart? I do promise that Gideon's International will be faithful to take it, convert it to scriptures, and we will go. We will go to 200-something nations of the world, and we will be faithful, and we will hand out the word of God until Jesus comes back or until he judges our nation and we no longer have the money to do it. I don't know which is coming first. I'll be honest with you. It makes me sick to think about our nation. I watch very little TV. The other night, as I was watching TV, my program went off. I use a taper thing. You can't even watch commercials anymore. Right through those commercials. Some silly little show I tape. And it went off. I hit done. One of those TV shows came on. I was just sitting there by myself in the dark. Nita had already went in another room. This guy walked in the room. They started a conversation. First thing you know, he kissed that guy. I wanted to puke. And I turned it off right quick and said, God, forgive us. God, forgive us for promoting something like that. Now it's in our living rooms. It's everywhere. Ungodliness. God said he saved Lot because he's righteous, because it vexed his soul every day as he saw all this stuff going around. Are your souls being vexed? Are you sick of this stuff? Are you hurting for our nation? We need to be. And we need to be praying, folks, and getting our lives ready to be righteous, because that's the hope. Every time you read, God says, I save the righteous, I save the righteous. And righteous is just doing right. That's all it means. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank for Jesus and what he means. Father, how I thank for this church. Now, for some 41 years now, we've been members. Raised my family here. And all my three kids and their wives and spouses and their 11 grandkids and the 12th one on the way, all raised here in this church. Father, I miss being here every Sunday. But Father, you give a church behind me that supports me and prays for me, that I may go into all the world like you command us to do, and place the word of God and see people saved. I thank you for all the mission trips that this church takes, Lord, because this is a mission-minded church. And I thank you so much for that. And God, I know you're going to protect us. Father, I know judgment is coming. And Father, when it is, we want to be ready. Because I think it'd be a great time of harvest for us to reach others for Christ. But Father, we ask now that the offering we take this morning will be one that you would be proud of. And you're the great multiplier. And we'll take it and place your word all over the world. Now, Father, I ask now there be one in this church who knows not Christ or needs to commit their lives more to Christ in these last days. I pray this morning they'll make that decision. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.